listening to the only daily talk show in North America covering the world of football. This is World Football Daily.
Yes! It hits the back of the net. Oh, my goodness me!
The world's game.
Oh, you're beautiful! What a head, son! What a head!
Our religion.
Brilliant goal! What an equalizer!
Our passion.
Go, go, USA! Oh, it's incredible! You could not write a script like this!
World Football Daily serves up the best football talk 5 days a week.
Oh! You will never, ever see a game quite like this! Unbelievable!
Manchester City without a heart, would it be better? That is one of the questions we will be asking on today's show as Joe Hart fumbles again across City in the Champions League. It was a rampant Bayern Munich performance. Is Pep's side as good or better than last year's? We'll also discuss that here on World Football Daily today. And if you thought that was it from European football, we have the Europa League coming up tonight. Tottenham, Swansea, Lazio, all some of the big boys in Europe in action this evening. We'll pick out the best of what is possibly a bad bunch. Welcome to Thursday's edition of World Football Daily. I'm Oliver the Juice Wilson, bringing you those news, that news and important views from around the world of football. Joining me a little later on, as always, is Mr. Rafa Gonzalez to talk about the Champions League and what a night last night. Real Madrid, Angel Di Maria with a stunning performance. Actually trumped Ronaldo yesterday evening. The Real Madrid right midfielder, Bale, still out for 3 weeks. Di Maria with a chance to prove his worth to Los Blancos. And if he carries on as he did last night, then I'm sure he will be around the Bernabeu for a long time indeed. Antonio Conte's side precariously perched in their group in the Champions League after a 2-2 draw with Roberto Mancini and Galatasaray. Bayer Leverkusen with a stunning winner against Real Sociedad. Manchester United with that 1-1 draw against Shakhtar Donetsk. CSKA Moscow and Victoria Pilsen paying out a 3-2 win to the Russian side. And I tell you what, you want to check out the goals from that, because there is a very embarrassing goal indeed that we will be talking about a little later on this show. PSG with a 3-0 win. Olympiacos with a 3-0 win. Bayern Munich dominant against Manchester City. Embarrassing for Pellegrini's side. All that to be discussed here on World Football Daily. Today, though, it is, of course, October the 3rd, 2013. It is Zlatan Ibrahimovic's birthday today. So very happy returns to Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And, you know, Zlatan's a pretty outspoken guy. I can imagine his birthday as being quite the occasion, going out. You know, I'm sure there's no expense spared when Zlatan hits the town. So I have to say, I wonder what Zlatan will be getting up to this evening. Celebrating, obviously, a Champions League win last night. We've got a game coming up on the weekend, of course, for PSG as the reigning league champions play against Marseille on Sunday in a huge game indeed. We all know what that PSG-Marseille rivalry is like, so that they've got that coming up. But because that's on Sunday, I wonder if Zlatan will get the opportunity to go out in Paris tonight and celebrate. Will it be a quiet meal? I doubt it. I could imagine Zlatan throwing quite the shindig indeed. But the question I want to ask you guys today here on World Football Daily is, which player would you most like to spend a birthday with? Zlatan Ibrahimovic would be one of the top ones on the list, of course. We always enjoy a good old story or two about Mario Balotelli, whether it's his birthday or not. But which player would you want to spend a birthday with of all the players in the world? And what would you buy them for their birthday? Let us know. Show at worldfootballdaily.com, at WFootballDaily on Twitter, 310-909-8483. And, of course, the Facebook page as well. We've got a special gift here. Actually, well, I'd like to say we've been given a gift. Gael Clichy has been giving out gifts left, right and centre. He gave a gift to Thomas Muller last night, straying away from his man as Muller capitalising from Clichy's abhorrent defending last night to add Bayern Munich's second of the evening yesterday. By the way, what a great strike from Negredo. Before we talk about the downs of Manchester City, that was a great strike from Negredo. But Gael Clichy giving a gift to Thomas Muller, and he's given a gift to us here at World Football Daily. We have a signed Puma boot signed by Gael Clichy here at the World Football Daily studios. We are thinking of a decent enough competition to warrant giving away this boot for. We're going to make you guys work for this, and it's going to be far more difficult than going up against Gael Clichy in a Champions League match, that's for sure. But Gael Clichy giving us gifts after gift this week, and of course giving one to Thomas Muller and one to us here at World Football Daily. As I say, we will let you know later on, either tomorrow or on Monday, just exactly what you got to do to get a signed Gael Clichy football boot. It's just the one, so I can't imagine you guys will want to go and wear it. Probably not. If you got some signed boots, but they were really nice boots. So say you got a pair of those Copa Mundiales, the new ones we were talking about earlier on in the week that went on sale, the limited edition white Copa Mundiales. They are the business, let's put them that way. If those came through to you, would you wear them if they were signed by one of your favourite players? You know, because obviously the signature would rub off, and that'd be kind of sad if Zlatan Ibrahimovic is your favourite player, and then you go out and you play in these boots, and the Zlatan signature comes off, you'd be pretty cheesed off. But you'd also have a pair of really nice football boots that are just kind of sat there, not really doing anything, which would be pretty. Pretty sad, to be honest. I'd be either way. I think it would be difficult not to want to wear the boots, because you know me, I love my beautiful football boots here on World Football Day, and I love it when we get new stuff come through from the suppliers and you get to have a look. I love it when they just send us the pictures. You know, I don't even have to have the boot. I just love seeing the pictures of all the brand new boot designs and stuff. And there are, of course, some beautiful football boots out there on the market. And if they were signed by a player, I think I'd probably still wear them, unless it was maybe like Zidane, Pele, something like that. But you know, maybe I would wear a Gael Clichy boot. I have no affinity to Manchester City, and I know it's only the one boot, which would make it a little lopsided playing in it, but maybe I would wear a Gael Clichy boot. Probably best that I don't win the boot here on World Football Daily, but we will let you guys know exactly how you can get your paws on the signed Gael Clichy boot later on this week, or at the early part of next week, that is for sure. We've already had a reply in, by the way, to our which player you'd like to spend your birthday with on the Twitter feed. Good old friend Casey Keenan getting back to us, who's doing very well down with his new reporting role, Mr. Television now, Mr. Casey Keenan. Casey saying that he would like to spend it with LD Landon Donovan. Says from personal experience, it's pretty awesome. Let us know the player you would want to spend your their birthday with the most here at World Football Daily. Maybe the best ones will get some WFD swag. We still have plenty of that, despite Rafa moving houses. That has moved with him as well. We have a fantastic guest lined up ready for us today on World Football Daily. We haven't delved into the Premier League so much this week, so it's about time that we really did, isn't it? With, obviously, Premier League teams in action in the Champions League this midweek. It only seemed fitting that we get somebody who works for the television network that gives us the best Champions League football coverage here in the UK. So I'm delighted to say that joining me today on World Football Daily is, for the second day in a row, another Sheffield Wednesday fan. It is, from Sky Sports News' very own, Mr. David Garrido, joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things English teams in the Champions League. David, an absolute pleasure to have you on board. A pleasure to have a second Sheffield Wednesday fan in 2 days as well, mate, on the show. How are you doing today?
Ollie, I'm very, very, very good. I think we should try and keep this theme going as long as we possibly can. I mean, who else can we crowbar in here? Michael Vaughan, is there something that we can kind of get him in? Or, I don't know, even Roy Hattersley? I mean, look, I'm prepared to go as desperate as we can, but let's just keep this Wednesday theme going, because, well, how long will it last? Probably about another 3 days and then we'd be done.
Well,
but,
I'm thinking Paolo still needs some work from somewhere. We could throw him a few quid and, get him on the show.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, and he's not short of an opinion, is he? So, yeah, exactly. You can just wind him up and let him go, and that'd be the podcast done. So
give him 5-10 minutes, but I wouldn't want to co-host anything with him, that's for sure. It'd be you'd be on edge for quite a lot of it. David, it's a pleasure to have you on today, mate. Absolute pleasure to have you on. We will break into the Champions League action from the last couple of days. Are you buying into Arsenal owner, if you will, as they've been dubbed? Arsenal with this cracking run of form since the loss to Villa on the opening day of the season and trouncing Napoli. Will it last, though? Considering that everybody said that Ozil's arrival was fantastic, but they still haven't paved over the cracks in elsewhere in that squad.
I do worry. If you look historically at Arsenal, they've always thought, and I think that the viewpoint's always been, they've got a squad and a style of play that suits European football more. How many European titles have they won in that time? None. Got close in 2006, got beaten by Barcelona in Paris. But, you know, you do feel that, yes, Ozil is an absolutely fantastic player. He will take, you know, their attacking play to the next level. But did they desperately need a player like that? No, I don't think they did. They needed a centre forward. They needed a defensive midfielder. They needed a centre back. But they haven't found any of those. And I think if Arsenal are going to make this count now, get through the group. They've started well, 6 points from six. So over halfway there, if you say 10 points is your benchmark. And then in January, I think this is where, you know, we need to see a little bit of shoring up. They've already had injuries. They've already had the warning signs. Cazorla is, for me, an absolutely key player, and he's out at the moment. And, of course, Walcott having that, you know, operation on his abdomen. So they do need to strengthen in January. And I know that no Premier League manager is keen on that. But this time around, if they want to do it in the Champions League and make all this potential count for something, I think Wenger is going to have to dip again. And we know that the funds are there.
What about the signing of Flamini? You know, many people said, oh, great, it's an ex-Arsenal player coming back, rejected from Serie A. And there wasn't too much made about bringing in Flamini in, but his role in this Arsenal side has been quite pivotal already.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think he is a player for that particular role. And I think, you know, in the absence of a real, you know, midfield marshal who can give that back four a little bit of steel and cover, I think, you know, he's the man who can, you know, at least just shore up a little bit at the moment. I would wonder whether Mikel Arteta is ever going to be able to get back into the Arsenal side if as you say, Flamini is playing like he is. Okay, you know, rejected by Serie A, well, at least he moved to AC Milan. He was drawn by, you know, the luster and you know, the prestige of playing in Italy's top division. But, you know, I don't think there's any real shame in, you know, in going for that. If it doesn't work out, well, so be it. Come back to somewhere you loved, you know, and we've seen Jose Mourinho do that. We've seen players do that before. It hasn't worked out, but I think time it will, and Arsenal need him more than is actually apparent at the moment, because he does provide that just little bit of a shot for that back four.
Do you think Napoli made or helped Arsenal look fantastic, or did Arsenal demolish Napoli the other night? What was it?
Bit of both. And Napoli had a bit of an off day, very much like Dortmund did against Napoli on match day one, when they lost it in the south of Italy. I think, you know, remember that they're doing well in Serie A. They've got a new manager in Rafa Benitez. And, you know, they're going to have the odd off day. Arsenal, luckily, had their first day of the season against Villa at home and have managed to recover. You know, and Napoli, apart from, you know, perhaps a slightly odd draw against Sassuolo in the Serie A, they've been doing absolutely fine. So nothing to be too unduly concerned about. Remember that Benitez is organised, and he will make sure that sort of, you know, performance doesn't happen again.
Now, obviously, we had Chelsea getting a comfortable win against Steaua Bucharest on Tuesday night as well. But for Chelsea in general, do you think this win was important, David, just to help settle the ship? There's so much talk flying around the top six in general in the Premier League, but it's nice to see at least Chelsea getting comfortable again after the loss against Basel in the Champions League.
Yeah, absolutely. They needed to recover after losing on match day one. First time that's happened to Jose Mourinho in his career as a coach. 4-0. So resounding clean sheet as well. And yeah, I think, you know, very, very important. We know how much he's achieved in the Champions League, you know, and he's still tender age for a coach, remember. So yeah, this is very important to him. He wants to do it with Chelsea. He wants to do it with a third different club after Porto and Inter, of course. So, you know, if he's going to do that, he needed that response. Okay, so they know about Steaua. They beat them over two legs last season in the Europa League. So they were all prepped anyway. And this time around, you know, they produced the performance that truly their sort of squad superiority would merit. So, yes, I think that was important to just settle things down. And now, you know, they can just really, you know, get one more, you know, results, you know, out of the way. They've got a little, as I say, an international break will help things settle down as well. Mourinho can just take a breather, take stock. Once we're out the other side of that after this weekend, you know, then I think it's time to get down to business. The game's coming quick and fast. But yeah, that midweek result will definitely have helped.
And we saw Mourinho as well before the game going into and the press conference, walking out. This De Bruyne issue has really seemed to touch a nerve on Monday during the press conference. Why is it really affected Jose in that sort of way? Because we normally see him just so calm and cool. And even in the toughest situations, he's joking around with the media. This really got to him.
Yes, it's funny, isn't it? You know, the very first press conference back as Chelsea manager, the charm offensive, you know, what sort of eggs are you buying? Where are you doing your shopping? I'm buying, you know, young, beautiful eggs, you know, and all this stuff that was the typical Jose, you know, that we would hope to see, and we did, but that doesn't seem to have lasted that long. And clearly, you know, the British press aren't shy when they want to point things out, regardless of how much they admire and actually like the man. The matter issue to start off with, then De Bruyne, and I think it's just rankled him a bit early on. Perhaps he's forgotten what it's like to be, you know, in the glare of the spotlight here in the Premier League. Of course, you know, it's pretty intense when you're at Real Madrid, and it's not going to be, you know, easy when you're at Inter Milan either. But, you know, this is the thing he's going to have to be able to sort of deal with, is that he has a squad with so many players, and a lot of whom are quite similar. And, you know, obviously the shortfall is really up front. You don't feel that Demba Ba or Torres, you know, are really at that top level right now. And, of course, they've let Lukaku go on loan to Everton. So he's going to have to field those questions a lot. But as we mentioned, you know, the result will have helped. And as long as he keeps delivering that, even if it's just 1-0 or 2-0, then, you know, those questions will start to fade.
And finally, for Chelsea, tough, though, losing Fernando Torres, possibly about 6 weeks it's estimated that he'll be out for. Some have called that a slight bit of karma after the scratching incident, obviously, last weekend. But for Chelsea, do we see more of that kind of false number nine that we saw them trying to play against Manchester United? Or do we see Mourinho going with Eto'o or Barr or who?
It'd be very interesting because... they don't play with a number nine, Barcelona, apparently. And now could Chelsea be replicating that? I mean, you know, you never, ever have imagined that a few seasons back when, you know, people were accusing Chelsea of playing anti-football. Look how things have changed, and it hasn't taken that long, has it? I think that, you know, he will still want to play someone, and having spent the money on it, they will probably go with that. And it's time for Eto'o to show what he's worth now. I mean, you know, yes, he's a little bit older, probably that tiny bit slower, but I think, you know, Mourinho likes him and Eto'o likes Mourinho. So this could be in a way, you know, a chance for him to show all his qualities is undoubtedly, you know, in Samuel Eto'o. And I don't think they will ever truly, you know, like 4-6-0. I think, you know, that they will always have someone up front. Even if, you know, maybe Schürrle perhaps could feel that, I don't know. But, you know, I think that right now, Eto'o would be the natural go-to man.
Joe Hart with a stumbling, bumbling performance to an extent last night against Bayern Munich from Manchester City. A lot of criticism on Hart, and it's not his first mistake this season, a big mistake this season, of course. Fraser Forster, is he starting to push his way into the England frame at all with Hart's iffy form continuing?
Well, this is a very interesting question, isn't it? Because Fraser Forster, oh, what a performance, you know, against Barcelona. Okay, Celtic, you know, did lose that game, and there were several contributing factors, Scott Brown being one of them. But I would say maybe it's one match too early. It would be a big, big call Roy Hodgson to chuck in Fraser Forster right now with these two absolutely crucial World Cup qualifiers coming up, where England need two wins to be absolutely sure of going to Brazil next year. If it had been maybe two matches earlier against Moldova, perhaps at home, where England are pretty much guaranteed victory, you would imagine, I would have thought, okay, bit of a gamble, but you can understand it. You know, there's kind of measured and limited risk, you know, in that. I think that he will go with Hart. I think it'll be a vote of confidence to Hart. Maybe it'll be the sort of thing that he needs to try and sort of buck his ideas up, because it's clear it's got a little bit under his skin and got on, you know, and into his psyche a bit. Remember, goalkeepers will spend, you know, sometimes, maybe not against Bayern, but, you know, if you're Manchester City in the Premier League and you're playing, I don't know, no disrespect to them, but maybe Stoke or maybe a team like that who they're expected to beat, then, you know, if you're doing nothing for 20, 30 minutes and you'll have a lot of thinking time, and that will just increase the pressure that he'll be feeling. Whereas if it's just innate, it's just, you know, there and he's just not thinking about it too much, then I think we'll see the Joe Hart. He just needs a little bit of confidence. And if Roy Hodgson's the man to give it to him, so be it. I can't see Fraser Forster coming in for these two. But, you know, believe me, he is one to watch. And he's a real unit. He makes himself so huge in that Celtic goal. Mm. You know, I think definitely he will be a real asset if England do progress to Brazil 2014 to give competition to Joe Hart.
It's not the right time for Joe Hart, though, to be lining up against a striker as inform as Robert Lewandowski at the moment. He looks confident for Dortmund. Obviously, he's got a lot more support in that side. But do you worry that Hart's mistakes, his lack of confidence going in this, could still cause a problem, though, for Roy?
A little bit. But, you know, it's not just his job, remember. You know, it's the back four in front of him that need to deal with Lewandowski more than anyone. And if they slip up, then he's there to bail them out. And yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, Lewandowski, even though, you know, we know now that he's going to be joining Mark for sure in the summer, that pre-contract agreement that we signed in the new year, you know, and he's scoring for fun right now, especially at home. Interesting, you know, when Dortmund are at home, he bags a couple. He's done that in the last three games. But you know, it doesn't matter where he is in the world, he will always put himself about, and he's got that real fantastic technique to go with it. So I do worry a little bit, but, you know, as long as there's, you know, solidity in front of him and there's a little bit of cover, you know, in midfield as well, then England do have enough, and Hart will just have to hope that, you know, he can get that clean sheet, that one clean sheet against Montenegro to start off with, and then Poland, you know, and then that should hopefully change his own feelings and his own mentality right now.
At least he won't have Gael Clichy's defending to worry about, that's for sure, for England.
Yeah,
going
he into... was he was at fault. You know, we can't put it all on Hart. You know, you have to kind of give credit where it's due, but also, you know, I'm sure that Gael Clichy himself will be the first to put his hand up and say, do you know what, actually, my bad on that one for that particular incident with Bayern.
And just finally, David, very quickly on David Moyes, Manchester United getting a win away, a draw even, getting ahead of myself there, against Shakhtar Donetsk on the road, a very difficult place for English sides to go. The draw may not look too flattering for Manchester United. It was still a little ropey, but very important for Moyes to have come out of there with at least a point.
Well, you know, if you just look at the record at how Shakhtar have done at home to English sides, there's only one team that have ever got anything for a trip to Donetsk, and that was Fulham. You know, Arsenal have been there twice, Chelsea have been there, and, you know, they've all been beaten. So, you know, it's a great point. It's just, you know, it's a difficult time for Moyes, and that is, you know, a point gained rather than two drop. Yes, they did take the lead, but, you know, right now he'll take what he can get. It's not been the best start, but that is difficult to do. And remember that Shakhtar aren't just a difficult place to go because it's in Ukraine and it's cold and, you know, it's an intimidating atmosphere. It's because they've got a talented side. You know, they might have lost a couple of, you know, Brazilians, you know, in Fernandinho, Willian, etc. But, you know, Fred, Bernard, they're not bad replacements. So, you know, I think, you know, that is, you know, a boost for Moyes. Sure, it's not all 3 points, but it will come. And now they've got a run of games, you know, against the likes of Sunderland and Fulham, games they're expected to win. And I firmly believe this is where his season gets back on track. As I say, after this weekend, international break, a time to take a breather, he will probably think, you know, that's the best time right now. You know, it's not going perfectly to plan by any means, but take a bit of stock and then go again. You know, other side of the international break.
What did you make of Sir Alex Ferguson's vote of confidence for him? Because does Moyes want Fergie to keep saying Moyes is the man, Moyes is the man? Or does Moyes, would it be easier if Fergie just kind of stopped talking about and discussing the modern-day Manchester United side under David Moyes?
Do you know what? If I was David Moyes, I'd say, OK, thank you, Sir Alex. That's great. I'll take things from here. It's obviously lovely to get that endorsement. And clearly the two have a mutual respect and you know, they're close. And so Alex now has a, you know, a bit more free time perhaps than he had, you know, in the previous sort of 26 years. But, you know, I think it does heap up the pressure. Of course it does. And you just keep comparing. And right now what Moyes doesn't want people to do is do that comparison. It happened as soon as we knew he was appointed. It was kind of, you know, always going to be that way anyway. We'd heard the murmurings, and, you know, it doesn't take long for stats to come up comparing the two and what they've achieved. I think Moyes wants to create his own mood, his own stamp. And, you know, I think he just wants to get on with the job now, regardless of what anyone is saying. And, you know, people will, it won't be, it's not hard for people to kind of twist what he said. And, you know, he's talking over in America and giving these interviews and things. But look, you know, Moyes is, you know, he's big enough, he's old enough to handle this himself. And he will just kind of crack on with it. He's been in crisis situations before, as he's mentioned, with Everton previously, with personal friend. And, you know, okay, the stakes are higher, but it's not like he, you know, hasn't dealt with it before. So I fully expect him to do so again.
The pressure is on for David Moyes, but that result in the Champions League last night will have helped. David, you're an absolute top man for coming and joining us here today on World Football Daily. We will let you get off to the Sky Sports News studios to get back to the day job, but we really appreciate you taking the time out to join us today, mate.
Absolutely, no problem, Molly. Thank you.
Cheers, David. Take care. Mr. David Garrido joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Champions League from an English perspective over the last couple of nights. Manchester United with that 1-1 draw against Shakhtar. A big draw indeed, as David was saying, when you consider how unsuccessful English sides have been there in the past. And a big point for United away on the road. Gives them 4 in the Champions League. Settles their ship slightly. 4 points along with Shakhtar at the top. The gap growing. Although Bayer Leverkusen managing to get that win last night against Real Sociedad, which puts them in a heap of trouble. 4 points off the qualifying spots after 2 games, and it's not looking good for Sociedad in the Champions League, although you have to say that last night they were beaten by an absolutely top-class free kick from Jens Hegler of Leverkusen in the final few minutes of that game. And David joining us to talk about all things Manchester City, of course, and Arsenal as well. Arsene Wenger is set to be offered a £24 million 3-year extension at Arsenal. I love how he's been having 1-year contract extensions, 1-year contract extensions, and then suddenly they get off to this flying start in the Premier League. Mesut Ozil arrives and they're looking fantastic in the Champions League as well, and suddenly the 3-year deals start coming. Oh, Arsene's our man. Arsene is very much our man here at Arsenal. You just love the shortcut. Not, I don't want to say short-mindedness, but you know how kind of the last few weeks can influence things in football just so, so much. PSG got their 3-0 win against Benfica, of course, last night. CSKA Moscow against Victoria Pilsen, and if you saw that game, I don't know if many people did, to be honest. It was the early game yesterday, but the own goal in that last night by Resnick, just unbelievable. Plays the ball back to Kosakilic in the Pilsen goal, and the keeper goes to just put his foot on the ball, and that's all you need to do. Just put your foot on the ball, take a touch and clear it downfield. And what he does instead is he puts his foot on the ball, completely misses it. It's a slow paced pass back to him as well, but before he knows it, the ball's trickled over the line for an own goal. Resnick, you can't really blame him at all for that goal. All of the blame has to go on Kosakic for that. And Pilsen getting beaten 3-2 on the road against CSKA Moscow. But of course, a big thanks there to David Garrido for joining us here on World Football Daily. First time we've delved into the Premier League too deeply in terms of our guest this weekend. A man who joins me. He is, I don't want to say he's a guest, because obviously he is a regular staple part of the World Football Daily machinery. Just both on the show and away from it as well. But he is a man who I enjoy speaking to just as much as the guests that we have on the show. It's of course, Mr. Raf Haji. Man, Raf, how are we doing today, brother?
I'm well. Do you enjoy speaking to me because you feel above me? Like, you know, you kind of talk to the guests, you learn a little bit there, but now it's like, here, I'll bring along my little buddy who doesn't know nearly as much. I can school him around and kind of handle the conversation wherever I want.
The only way I school you, Raf, is when you start chatting stuff on Twitter and start saying all this, like fuel points. Oh my God, man.
Speaking of fuel points, let me give that shout out to John in tech support. Actually, he said that he was going to come and download today's show specifically for this shout out. Now, John, I'm very much looking forward to you doing so. And you know, I called in to Nike, or actually I wrote in to Nike online. They got back to me in less than a day, And then by that day, I had called this guy early in the morning, and he basically set it up for me to go and get a brand new Fuel Band. I have the new Nike Black Ice Fuel Band juice. I might have to turn on the webcam here in a little sec to just show it off, because I can see
Oh yeah, I know which one you got, man. On Twitter of it, man. Show the listeners the goodies that Rafa has finally got sorted once again. Finally got working after he did so much exercise. He broke his last Fuel Band. That's pretty much what happened.
You know what? I think I did get to like 90,000 points, Fuel points, which, I mean, over 10 months, you know, it's not too crazy, but,
well, yeah. 90,000 points over 10 months. So you got 9,000 points a month.
Mm-hmm. That's actually pretty low.
Raph, I'm doing like 3,000 a day, brother. You got a long way to catch up here, man. You can't start talking on Twitter about owning me on Night Fuel and this sort of stuff, and then and then be bringing out these 90,000 points a day.
All right. But for reals, I am going to like seriously dominate you, Holmes, because I'm back in my Sunday league. I'm just gonna, you know, I'm starting to settle into my house, so I'll be able to find more time. I went for a jog this week, man. You better watch your ass, because I'm coming for it, man. For reals, I'm gonna be dominating this Fuel Band, and just don't even accept my Nike Fuel Band friend request, Nike Plus friend request. No chance.
I'm not
gonna do that, because I don't want to talk to you.
So why are you sending me one then?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and cancel that today. Yeah, tonight.
Right. Tonight. Yeah, you ain't sending nothing over this way, man. Because if I'm gonna publicly shame you with this, I am going to do it over WFD, over Twitter, over Facebook. It's not gonna be a secret, super special Nike Fuel Band competition just between you and I. Kind of nah, Raph. If you want to start bringing the I'm gonna own juice, it's gonna be all over the place, Raph. You're not gonna be able to hide from the abuse that I'm gonna give you during this
also,
time.
Also, I'm sorry not to deflect, because I'm not scared. Trust me, Juice. I'm not scared of you
okay,
at all.
Okay, sure. But don't worry.
I did not know that David Garrido, who I also have a very, you know, kind of close connection in the sentimental connection to, because look, back when my daughter was first born. And like, you know, my first 2 weeks kind of after that, I took a little bit of a break from the show, obviously. I remember like spending the night, you know, on the couch, because she had this thing called acid reflux anyways. So she had to be kind of propped up sort of. So she would sleep on my chest and I'd sit up against, you know, the back of the couch or the side of the couch. And I would be watching like Sky Sports News. I was the most intelligent, you know, kind of soccer supporter at this time, because I got to watch so much football because she just wanted to sleep on my chest. And yeah, so like I would take the midnight shifts, and who would be on at our midnight like / 2 a.m.? Well,
Big
that
D.
would be David Garrido at the early morning shift in the UK. And so I always kind of have that kind of connection to him. But what I did not know, Jews, and I'm going to have to start like filtering out these people, I think, is that he's a Sheffield Wednesday fan?
Oh, yeah.
What?
I was loving Chris Vokes' tweet to us earlier yesterday, saying, look, we're infiltrating everywhere. That's right, Wednesday fans. You watch out. You know, the guy next to you in the office, people. You may think he's a normal and average football fan. You probably assume maybe that if he's going to be a football fan, he supports Arsenal, Manchester United, Barcelona, Real Madrid, whoever. You think again when you notice that that Sheffield Wednesday, I don't know, could be a Sheffield Wednesday coaster that he's got his drink on. Could be a little Sheffield Wednesday screensaver on his computer when he steps away from it. Could even be the Sheffield Wednesday car mats that he's got in his car. But you may not realize it until you clock it, and then you'll know. We are everywhere, Ref. We are everywhere.
It is kind of scary, I'm not going to lie. It's but true. Regardless, I appreciate David still, and I still love his work. The guy's grinding on all fronts, much like an Aiden McGee. I mean, all the guys that come on the show, Juice, I'm thoroughly impressed with. I was telling you this the other day. I don't like, you know, I don't work with people who I don't necessarily like, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's the best part about this part, you know, this part of my life, you know, my football life, you know, like whenever and however I work with WFT, I've always enjoyed every single aspect of it. Never mind. I'm getting way off topic. Did you want to talk a little bit about football?
I wouldn't mind talking a little bit of football. I'd like to start, actually. Who do you think earned more fuel points last night? The Bayern Munich side, PSG, or Real Madrid? Because all had emphatic wins, okay?
Yeah.
You know, Madrid winning 4-0 against Copenhagen, PSG with the 3-0 win against Benfica, and Bayern Munich, of course, tearing apart Manchester City. But who do you think had to work the most for those 4-0 wins? For those big wins, sorry.
I'm going to say...
Or Olympiakos as well, of course, because they got their 3-0 win as well.
Well, probably Olympiakos, actually. Now that you're throwing them in, because, I mean, although one man got a... Wasn't there a hat trick, yes?
Yes. Yeah, it was.
Although one man got the hat trick, it's not the same class of team. It's not the same level of play that is possible
but
there.
But that's why it could be less. Because it's less, it's less short, sharp, quick movements, less kind of racing all over the place, stretching the play, more kind of, you know, getting a stroke of luck, getting it long a bit. Yeah. Although you have to say Mitroglou's third was absolutely cracking. Mm-hmm. What a way to grab a hat trick, that's for sure. But you could argue that actually Olympiakos maybe, you know, played that little bit more direct football compared to the other three teams that I mentioned. So actually they could be less raff now that you say that. I mean, I'm going to just play devil's advocate with whichever
one
you
say. Right, sure. I'm thinking it's got to be Olympiakos. I think maybe Bayern, you know, were pushed somewhat hard by City. I'd like to think City was a stiffer competition than the scoreline kind of showed. But to be honest, I mean, City, wow, like just completely dismantled.
Wow.
And for me, it looked like Bayern made it look easy. So
well, we knew that Madrid would beat Copenhagen. Kind of knew that PSG would be able to do Benfica. It's the toughest game in their group, but it's not the toughest group, and wasn't the toughest game for PSG last night at all. Zlatan absolutely fantastic, and that second goal was just wonderful. The little Zlatan back heel, the perfectly weighted ball before the cross, and then an easy finish indeed. Mitroglou was it? Marquinhos, I apologize. Marquinhos with the easy finish from close range.
French mixed up.
I do apologize. Obviously Real Madrid with a cracking 4-0 win against Copenhagen, but it was kind of expected. City Bayern. I mean, okay. Manchester City are probably the best side on paper in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the best squad, I think, arguably.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a debate. Obviously, you can bring in things like team chemistry. But I think on paper, that's probably the best side in the Premier League.
You can bring in things like team chemistry and a lot of passion. But, you know.
But really, aside from Micah Richards, that was a really poor... Micah Richards, I tell you what, he didn't give up. Was putting in some thunderous challenges. It's great to see him back playing football again. I mean, Richards, I thought, actually played reasonably well last night. But the back two accompanying Nastasic didn't look good. Gael Clichy, I don't know what he was doing on that second goal for Thomas Muller, just left him alone. Joe Hart with an absolute shocker. The midfield never got going. Yaya Toure was just suppressed beyond belief. Fernandinho was getting frustrated. Nasri was getting frustrated. Navas wasn't getting any space. And the front two, Dzeko and Aguero, had very little to deal with. A great goal by Negredo was kind of made by himself, really. They had very little service indeed. Bayern just didn't allow them to play, did they? I mean, they moved that ball around so quickly. There was a point in that second half when I actually turned to my friend and said, so are City just not allowed to touch the ball anymore? Like, I mean, it genuinely became like that. Even at 3-0, it was kind of, yeah, well, we're just gonna knock it about. No worries. Nice and simple.
Sure.
They were phenomenal, Bayern. They showed us... It was as embarrassing a loss as... Do you remember Dortmund beating City at the Etihad last year? Like that was that Dortmund played him off the park, and everybody was supposedly surprised by that. Obviously, we weren't here at World Football Daily, but a lot of people were surprised about how good Dortmund were. That was more dominant than the Dortmund win. far more dominant. It was about as dominant as Bayern against Arsenal last season.
The kind of key that I noticed, this was a game that I was watching in my office actually, and I probably shouldn't be saying this. I know my wife keeps kind of mentioning that to me. She's like, you shouldn't be kind of telling on yourself about work, but whatever. So this was a game that I was watching at work, and you kind of made the point in your little rant there, Juice, is that, you know, Toure, to me, if he can't boss the midfield, then their whole, you know, play breaks down completely. Obviously, you know, Nasri and the rest of the midfield, they get upset because they can't, any runs that they're going to be making are futile because, you know, Toure can't get a grip of the whole situation, which obviously, you know, means that the top of the attack, the spear of the attack, isn't getting any service either. And then, you know, your defenders get upset because they're defending all the time, and it feels like, you know, that they're not getting any help when ultimately it's up to them to get that ball back and kind of start play themselves. City just couldn't get anything going, and they never looked like they were in the game. That was a nice showcase of Bayern's skill, I thought.
Yeah, Bayern are firm favourites, I think, at this moment in time for a repeat of their Champions League victory. Right. There are, of course, plenty of people out there. I was thoroughly impressed by Di Maria last night. I almost said Di Maria there, like it's a drink. I'll have a Di Maria, please. Di Maria last night for Real Madrid, I thought, was absolutely stellar. You know, Cristiano Ronaldo always gets the plaudits, and everybody was kind of saying first, you know, oh, Ronaldo with his two goals, but Di Maria to set up one of Ronaldo's wonderful ball in, and then his two strikes as well. His first, Madrid's third of the night, was just an absolute stormer. Once again, we had some great goals yesterday evening. Mm-hmm. Angel Di Maria showing that, you know, without Gareth Bale, he started the season flying. That competition that is being provided now by Bale for that spot on the other flank, with Ronaldo and Benzema in the middle, is bringing the best out of Angel Di Maria. It's fantastic to see because he's a player that disappointed for me a little bit last year. You know, wasn't as impressive. There were people getting frustrated with him,
Shaky and inconsistent. Of course, he's very, very talented, and he has a lot of skill. I've always kind of wish that he could beef up a little bit, like put a little bit more meat on his bones.
He is quite slender, isn't he?
Quite thin, man. I'm just saying. I feel like it could only benefit him, because I'm sure you could kind of keep up your pace with just a few extra pounds. But in all honesty, like, I do think that he is kind of feeling the pressure of his kind of starting position being taken away, and rising to the, you know, the occasion of fighting for his chance in the starting 11, and that's great. I mean, that's what you need from big egos. You don't need them to be clashing over, you know, who's getting more front page time. You know, like, that's just deal with it. So
I don't think Di Maria is a big ego.
No, not at all. And that's helping him in this kind of competitive push with Gareth Bale coming to Los Galacticos.
Gareth Bale, of course, out for 3 weeks, as is Lionel Messi.
But he's called up to the Welsh squad for.
Well, he's been dropped again. It took about 40-odd minutes or so. he was called up. He was named into the world squad, and then about 35 minutes later,
he wouldn't play basically, right? Because he's injured.
Well, and we heard yesterday that Gareth Bale was out for 2 to 3 weeks, which conveniently kind of gets him and Lionel Messi nice and ready and fit, not for the international break, but for El Clasico coming up. Nice and convenient, I think, that one.
What day is that on again? Is that? I know it's October, but what's the date?
I don't have it to hand. I don't have it off the top of my head, unfortunately. We'll get that out before the end of the show. Don't worry.
It's close to 23rd, which is my birthday, which I'm super excited about, man.
Excited. Sorry,
it's always good games on my birthday, man.
I didn't mean to poo-poo your birthday.
There was an old firm on my birthday once.
There was a what?
There was an old firm match on my birthday once.
Did Celtic win?
No.
Ah, oh, damn. I mean, that would have been a nice birthday present, you know. Celtic getting a big win against Rangers.
Wow. Sorry. That's really not even funny, Juice.
That'd be a real low blow, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What else, Roberto Mancini? Raf, first game in charge of Galatasaray.
Yeah, no, that was very interesting. Do you think that the Italian kind of connection had anything to do with what happened there? Or, I mean, is that just kind of too much? Is that too much to say?
Well, it was what we I can't remember who I asked this week about this, actually. It was Chris Vokes, I think, actually, yesterday on the show. I asked him, you know, will Mancini's knowledge of the Italian game help him? And Chris didn't seem to think too much. And we kind of decided that it was Juventus kind of going in there as firm favourites, and it looked like it was all going to be fine and dandy for them. 87 minutes, Fabio Quagliarella gets a header, and Juve is only 2-1 up against a Galatasaray side that really played very well. We mentioned that Felipe Melo yesterday on the show. We mentioned that he'd been given, at one point during his time at Juventus, the worst player of the season award. And I tell you what, the game he had in the heart of the midfield as that holding midfielder was definitely didn't warrant that for Galatasaray. He had a stormer of a game as a ball winner in the heart of the pitch. Really good at breaking up play, at pressing on Pirlo and Pogba, and not letting them really get too comfortable at points. It obviously was a difficult game for Juventus, and we knew it wasn't going to be kind of super easy for them. But I think, yeah, a little surprised that Galatasaray did get the 2-2 draw in Italy. It makes life a little difficult now because Juventus have stumbled in the opening part of this Champions League group. We expected them to beat FC Copenhagen. It didn't happen. We expected them to beat Galatasaray at home. It didn't happen. And Copenhagen, Galatasaray especially, will be looking at this and thinking, right, we got that first Madrid game out of the way. Like, that didn't go well for us, but you know, it's gone. It's done. Let's leave it. We've got that point away against Juventus now. This gives us a real chance to rain down a little bit of fire now. I mean, if Madrid beat Juventus in the next game and Galatasaray go ahead and beat Copenhagen, you know, Galatasaray in the driving seat for that second place spot. And suddenly Juventus aren't looking at a Madrid-Juventus who's going to win the group. They're now looking at we need to fight to stay in this group. I mean, you know, there's 4 games left, Raf, but that is only 4 games. And Galatasaray, you would expect, would fall to Madrid, but you would hope that the Turkish fans will hope that on Turkish soil, they'll be able to get at least a draw against Juventus, and that should be 6 points against Copenhagen as well. Be very interesting indeed. Juventus might really have to make sure they get points and get points off Real Madrid in the next couple of games coming up in Champions League Group B, that's for sure. I think that's going to be a very, very interesting group indeed as we head down into the final 3 games of it at the halfway point.
Can I read you an email, sir?
I
am very excited for an email. I completely forgot about this, and I'm so glad I'm going to squeeze this in right towards the end of my little time here on the show. Oh, man. I'm laughing inside thinking about what you're about to hear. Okay, here it goes.
Okay.
Frazier Forster slots in at Barcelona. Juice. You jumped on the Hart bandwagon back in the day, stating Hart could slot in at any of the top sides in Europe.
Yeah.
Fact. So does that mean, since you said on the Tuesday show that Frazier Foster was possibly England's number one, that Frazier Foster could practically slot right in for Victor Valdez, even Diego Lopez, right over Iker Casillas? Are you crazy? Ray and Visalia.
Hey, Ray, you twist my words. Look, I jumped on the Joe Hart bandwagon very strongly because he had a stormer of a season in the year that City won the Premier League. I thought he still had a very good year last year. It has crept in, though, these mistakes. And I think it's actually Hart regressing that's meant that Frazier Forster is on a level with Joe Hart at this point in time. Honestly, I don't know enough about Frazier Forster in the Scottish League to be able to judge whether he's consistent enough. In Champions League football, though, he always comes out with plenty of quality saves, and especially in a Celtic side that leave him a little exposed on more than one occasion during games. Frazier Forster isn't in that level in any way, shape or form. But at the moment, Joe Hart isn't in that level either. It was a terrible game he had last night. Absolutely terrible.
I mean, it just seems that he does have quite a few of these terrible games.
And they are starting to come thick and fast.
Not to pour salt in the wound, Juice, but if he is able to find more consistency on the big stages, I think that, I mean, he is a fantastic keeper at his best, and a laughable one at his worst. But, if he could just keep at his best in game situations, you know, you're golden. Sort that out.
I, at the moment, would happily have Ben Foster, if he was fit, or Fraser Forster going in goal for England over Joe Hart at this moment in time.
Joe Hart
has had too many of these kind of sloppy games coming up. We heard David Garrido's thoughts on Joe Hart today. A couple of thoughts from myself as well. We've got Europa League action tonight as well coming up, of course. The main games, Tottenham taking on Anzhi in one of the early kickoffs. That'll be very interesting indeed. Valencia take on Kuban Krasnodar. Sevilla take on Freiburg. Lazio take on Trabzonspor. Lyon take on Vitória de Guimarães. Fiorentina take on Dnipro. Swansea take on Saint-Gallen. Maccabi Tel Aviv take on Bordeaux. PSV take on Chernomorets. Salzburg take on Esbjerg. Elfsborg take on Standard Liège. And there are plenty of other games as well in the Europa League. I hope that Swansea don't get these Europa League hangovers and stuff, because I had hate seeing them kind of getting their league progress in their league season kind of disrupted by it. I'm really looking forward to seeing AZ Alkmaar tonight
multiple
as well.
Teams that you're not familiar with.
Yes, ref.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, when there's multiple teams, sorry about that. When there's multiple teams in the Europa League that you're not familiar with, but they sound the same when you kind of try to say them out loud, it's a bit still early. That's
difficult to get into, yeah. AZ Alkmaar against PAOK Thessaloniki, though, will tonight be. PAOK, of course, one of the sides that dropped out of Champions League qualifying. They were knocked out by Schalke. And AZ Alkmaar, of course, keep an eye on Thomas Johansson, the US striker, who I still think really impressed me against Bosnia and has impressed me in his US men's national team shirt appearances and for AZ this season as well. I'd like to see him progress and see what a guy with just no fear playing football can do in the US men's national team side and in this AZ side as well. We will leave it at that for today. This has been Thursday's edition of World Football Daily. A big thanks to David Garrido for joining us today. A big thanks to you, Raf, as always. And a big thanks to everybody who got in contact with the show, emails, Twitter, etc., etc. This has been Thursday's edition of WFD. Enjoy the Europa League. We will see you on Friday for IKTS Fantasy Football and a look ahead to the weekend's game.